Now, you listen to me. The most important thing that you must remember, that is, always appear half drunk. You almost think you look helpless. You understand that?
Yes, teacher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to an episode of the Dragons Forever podcast with me, Hardy Mahal. Today, I'm very happy and very honoured to have Colin Squire join me, a fellow tweeter and massive fan of Hong Kong and general martial arts action cinema. So, Colin, say hello to the fans.
Hello, everyone.
And when I say fans, clearly not my fans, just fans of Hong Kong martial arts action cinema, like we are both fans of. So say hello to the fellow fans, I should say.
Hello. Thanks very much for having me on the podcast. Listen, and obviously we've built up quite a friendship over Twitter. So, and obviously we met each other at the Accident Man premiere, didn't we?
Yeah, that was quite cool. We got to meet up at the Scott Adkins premiere for Accident Man, which is really nice. There was a lot of familiar faces from the world of Twitter were there. Ben at Kung Fu Movie Guide. We saw Timon Singh. Was also there. Who else?
Mike Fury was there.
That's right. The only person missing was Jeff, but it would have been a bit of a Jeff Turner from Action Reloaded. It would have been a bit of a journey, I think, to come over from Ireland. But you know, hey, I'm sure there'll be a chance when we'll all get together. It's been really nice. I'm really glad we're able to get this podcast done. I know we spoke about it on the Twitter universe for a while, which is where most people sort of get in contact with me, because I'm looking for fellow fans to complete season one of the Dragons Forever podcast, and we're getting very close now with this episode. This is episode 7, so there's only 3 more episodes left, and then season one will be done. If it's a success and people enjoy it, then you know, I'm sure we'll continue to season 2, and maybe Colin yourself, you might come back and join me for another episode.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
So let's tell the listeners what today is going to be about. So what are you going to educate us on today?
Well, basically, I thought about just going over a few of Van Damme films in the later part of his career, because obviously everybody knows from the Bloodsport to the Kickboxers, Time Cop, all that sort of stuff, the popular ones, but he's definitely had some hidden gems in the latter part of his career that have just gone straight to DVD, which I think are overlooked.
Stop them, please.
Hey, I would love to, but some moron just scanned me.
So I'm glad you're doing this, Colin. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, because a lot of people who know me know that I'm not the biggest JCVD fan. And I think that's, I think it's probably because I haven't liked some of his recent output, which is really good, because you're going to hopefully educate me on some of those classics that maybe I've overlooked and been a bit snobbish on. I know Jeff's probably listening to this and thinking, yeah, I told you, Hardy, I told you. I told you there's going to be some classics. And, and hopefully today, Colin, you'll be able to tell me some of those. So am I right in saying that you're going to pick 5 for the listeners to potentially go and dig out?
Yeah, these were 5 of my favourites. I mean, there are more that he's done, but these are kind of the 5 that I've watched a few times, probably too many times. But yeah, these are my favourite 5.
Yeah, you do have a pretty awesome collection of DVDs. You and Mike Fury have a pretty impressive collection of physical discs still there, especially within the martial arts genre. So I think you guys are... And probably Jeff are probably single-handedly keeping that market going, I think.
I think so. Actually, just before you called, I was watching When Taekwondo Strikes, actually.
Just getting your Taekwondo fix on.
Yeah, just thought I'd check that one on, because I got that through the post the other day. So, and it's pretty good.
So I'm assuming, and therefore, you've probably got quite a lot of the Van Damme films on DVD too, helping continue his career?
I've got all of them. Yeah, got all of them. I've even got some of the French stuff he done, which are like Sinvar and a few of the other real low budget films that he'd done in between his DVD releases.
Wow, so true Van Damme supporter. Well, you're just a massive supporter of martial arts cinema, aren't you? You just love anything to do with martial arts.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think it's the most entertaining form of film as it is out there. I mean, you've heard people say it all the time. It's kind of underrated, I think, because it's obviously the hardest, most physical film genre out there that people, you know, they put their bodies on the line. I think it's overlooked, as I think Mike said before, at the Oscars and things like that. Stunt people, you know, they are all overlooked, and I just think that there's, it's brilliant to watch. I think there's different angles, you know, different stories, all that sort of stuff. I just love it.
Yeah, I remember once hearing an interview by Wes and Snipes saying that people love to see the body in motion. You know, it's like poetry in motion. There's something about it that it's quite hard to pinpoint why it, you know, it really resonates with the fans. But there's something about it that just you know, really just gets people hyped up. And I remember seeing an interview once years ago. I think it was Chuck Norris saying that, you know, people love martial arts because they get to live sort of vicariously through these characters. You know, because everybody would love to, you know, feel confident that they can walk down the street and, you know, if anything happens, they can just deal with it, you know, sort of take somebody out, you know, in sort of 10 seconds flat, you know. And not everybody can, or nobody feels confident to be able to do something like that. Nobody really wants to be in that situation, but there's this sense of looking, you know, or watching a guy, so, you know, like your Bruce Lees and your, you know, and your Van Dams and so forth, and sort of, you know, seeing how they sort of carry themselves and just sort of do away with the baddies sort of instantly. That gives you that little, you know, sense of, I don't know, it sort of hypes you up a little bit, I think. And it also gives you that inspiration that, you know, with the enough training, you know, there's nothing to stop you from also being able to defend yourself if you needed to. So, you know, it's quite realistic, you know, apart from the waifu, which everyone knows I'm not a massive fan of, you know, that sort of real grounded sort of fighting that you see, you know, in a lot of the Scott Adkins movies, especially, you know, that sort of rounded, sort of grounded, sort of, you know, real life sort of gritty stuff is things that, you know, people potentially, you know, could do. So I think that's why martial arts cinema works so well, because it resonates with people.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think you said in one of the previous podcasts with all the martial art films and stuff, I think the story kind of takes a background seat in that, because the main reason I watch them anyway is for the fight scenes and how it's choreographed and how it's shot and all that sort of thing. And I know you've kind of said that in the past with watching some of the Hong Kong classics, you know, the story does kind of take a back seat and it is all about the action. Which what you just said is absolutely right. It's kind of, maybe it's you kind of believe that you could possibly achieve that sort of thing with confidence. You get lost in the characters, don't you?
Can you show me one of your special tricks?
All right then, Colin. So why don't we start this list of the five overlooked JCVD movies?
Okay. The first one, which I thought was really good, is called The Order, which Van Damme co-wrote. This came out in 2001. It was directed by Sheldon Lettich, who had worked with Van Damme before. He'd directed him in AWOL, Double Impact, and Hard Corps. And he'd also written a couple of films. He wrote Bloodsport, Rambo 2, Double Impact, and AWOL, which also obviously featured Van Damme. The plot of this film is Van Damme's father works in a museum in Jerusalem. He comes across an ancient scroll, which is hidden with secrets and all that kind of mystical feel to it. And his dad gets kidnapped by a religious cult. Van Damme's in America and he's into smuggling artifacts and stuff. And when he finds out, he goes over to Jerusalem to rescue his dad. This film, you see Van Damme in a bit of a different light. I know his character in Double Impact, Chad, one of the twins, had a bit of a comedy element to it, but in The Order, he actually starts coming out of his shell even more with his comedy side. There's funny bits in it. There's funny skits and stuff. The martial arts in it is very classic Van Damme. Slow-mo, extended kicks, fight scenes that are very kick-orientated, which is brilliant. I felt that this film was very... it was quite a fun watch. There wasn't no seriousness to it or anything like that. It was kind of a fun action film. Randomly, there's a cameo by Charlton Heston in it, which was out of the blue, which you don't really expect. It's full of one-liners, you know, which people have kind of come to enjoy with Van Damme films. And I felt that the action was constant all the way through. There wasn't no dull parts on that, and it wasn't overlooked by the story. The story was all basic, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a great Van Damme film.
You want some advice? Take your fancy clothes and your black silk underwear and go back to Disneyland.
Okay, so that one's The Order. And what year was that released, Colin?
2001.
Okay, so I'm just trying to place the years in here, because I think you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the director that, and some of the work that he'd worked on before, and some of that I definitely recall. Yeah, that was, you know, some of the Van Damme films that I remember growing up that I really enjoyed, like the Double Impact, especially AWOL, which actually, on a side note, AWOL, I had no idea.
He's doing a sequel, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing a sequel, but before that, I didn't even realise that AWOL all this time was called, was it Lionheart?
Yeah, Lionheart.
So I've only ever known it as Absent Without Olief.
That's what it was released over here, but everywhere else it was called Lionheart for some reason.
There we go. That's probably why. So I'm like, this film Lionheart looks... I mean, I was seeing things when the release, I think, of the Blu-ray. I was like, hold on, this looks just like that other movie, unless it's a sequel, or unless there was something else, like a different version released that I didn't know about. But yeah, I only ever knew it as AWOL. That's all I ever knew that film by.
Yeah, I was exactly the same until, obviously, you know, you start kind of looking up stuff on the internet and what's this film, and then you realise just read the synopsis and the plot and it's all the same. So.
Yeah, it's just been re sort of packaged and redistributed. Well, and they did that for all the Hong Kong movies when they used to send them over to America anyway. So I guess it makes sense now looking back at it. Okay, great. So that's The Order. That's number one. And if you're keeping in order, what would be number two in the Van Damme movie hit list? You like what I did there?
I did. It was very good. Yeah. Number two is In Hell. This was released in 2003. The director of that was Ringo Lam, which he also directed Twin Dragons with Jackie Chan, Full Contact with Chow Yun-Fat. And he also directed Maximum Risk and The Replicant with Van Damme, which was two other films from the latter part of his career.
Don't be sorry.
The plot of this is really dark. He's prosecuted for killing the man who murdered his wife, and Van Damme is sent to the most violent prison in Eastern Europe. It's got kind of undisputed feel to it because the guards are forcing the prisoners to fight. Van Damme, when he goes into prison, obviously is very placid, but he soon has to kind of learn to fight his way through the prison. He has a bit of a breakdown in there, and you just see his character turn. It gets very dark towards the latter part of the film. The fighting in this is really hard hitting. It's not the usual Van Damme style you get. It's really grounded. There's a lot of grappling and, you know, violence in it. The fight scenes are really dark. The fights, they're really short and straight to the point. There's no kicking or anything like that sort of thing in it. It's more of a, in this, you see Van Damme take more of a, There's definitely more acting. You see a very different side of him in this film. Ringo Lam, way he's shot it is very, you know, it's all low. The fight scenes are all shot low down on the ground, and it is really a dark sort of film that you wouldn't expect Van Damme to have taken on, really. But I liked it. It was unexpected, and as I say, it's quite serious. People say that it's based on a true story, but I've looked up and I can't find any fact to say it is. Maybe it's loosely based on a true story. I don't know, but it was a very different turn for Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I think diehard fans will respect it for being something different. It's not the usual light bright. It's very dark and dirty. And I just thought it was really good.
not one that I've explored, but it sounds, you know, from the, you know, from what you've described, it sounds very sort of Undisputed-esque. I mean, does it have any of the flair?
Yeah, this is really gritty. I mean, the Undisputed, obviously, is quite character driven. This was more story. It was a very different approach to it. But yeah, no, they're kind of, the only similarities in that really is just kind of the stories, I think, with the Undisputed.
I'm gonna find out who killed Douglas Binder.
So that's our second movie, noted. So what would be the third in your list?
The third is The Shepherd Border Control, which came out in 2008, and it's directed by the great Isaac Florentine. This film is the first time that Van Damme and Scott Atkins shared screen time.
Okay.
The plot of it, basically, he's an ex-cop who's lost his daughter, which was in the flashbacks. The girl playing Van Damme's daughter in the film is actually his real-life daughter, Bianca. He moves away from being a cop and he takes up a job as a border control officer and has to face off against rogue Navy SEALs who are smuggling heroin across the Mexican borders. I think in this was quite a back to classic with Van Damme. The fighting was great. Obviously, Isaac knows exactly what he's doing with that. It's got a traditional Van Damme feel to the film. I enjoyed it, although reading up on it, Scott Atkins had said that the fight scene that they both have in it, he didn't feel was up to its full potential. He felt that it could have been pushed a little bit more, and it kind of wasn't up to where he had wanted it to be. I didn't think it was nowhere near as bad as it was reviewed. If you read up on it, a lot of people slate it, but I felt that the fight scenes in it were great. The first fight scene in the calf, he goes in there and, you know, he does the classic elbow break over the shoulder. It's everything that you want him to do, really, in a Van Damme film. And this, I felt the action was, there was no rest in the film. The action overtook the story. You were kind of eager to see the next fight scene in it, which is what you want, really, in a Van Damme film, I think.
Yeah, no, I like that. And you know, and now that I know that Isaac Florentine directed it, I'm like, okay, I think I will have to sort of search that one out. And he's a really good martial arts action director. You know, I think it's a shame we haven't seen a lot recently with him and Scott Adkins. I know, you know, they've done some great movies together. I know sort of Jesse seems to be seems to be sort of the go-to sort of Scott Adkins sort of collaborator. But I'd love to see Isaac and Scott Adkins together again. I think he brings a different style to Scott Adkins' sort of characters and on-screen presence. And I think, you know, I think definitely sort of some of the work and the choreography that Tin Man does brings a totally different type of Scott Adkins fighter on screen. So, I think I'll definitely check that out. I'm not expecting too much. I'm not expecting it to be a phenomenal fight. And that's only to be expected. So that's a good one. I'm definitely going to take a note of that one.
Well, when I found out that Isaac had directed some of the old Power Ranger episodes, I actually went back and watched it, and you can kind of see that it's, you know, the episodes that he did were totally different to some of the other stuff.
I only realized that through the book that Mike Fury had wrote, where he'd interviewed Isaac Florentine. I was like, oh goodness, I had no idea that his background was like sort of way back then in the 90s with one of the sort of seminal TV programs that a lot of people of a certain generation sort of got exposed to martial arts, you know, in a kids' TV show. And it was definitely that for me. So I always remember looking at it thinking, actually, this is actually quite good. It's actually quite slick. So there you go. He's, you know, Isaac's been in the game for quite a while. So that would be quite nice. So if you guys are listening, come on, get back together again. let's have another one. But let's not do Undisputed Five or whatever it's going to be. Let's do something. I think that series of movies have sort of run its course now, with all due respect.
If you want to dance, ask me nicely.
So we've done three movies out of the five. Yep. That one most recently that you just mentioned, that one's definitely going on the list. I've got a piece of paper here.
The Shepherd. I weren't thinking very hard with that name.
I am jotting that down. Do you know what I thought? I thought you said the last movie was called The Shepherd, so I thought this one was...
So that's in Hell.
That was Story in Hell, Hell, sorry, yeah. So I thought the last one was called The Shepherd, so I thought this was a sequel to it. Okay, all right, so where did they get these names from? I don't know. So we've got... So In Hell, the first one wasn't In Hell. The first one was...
The Order.
The Order, that's right. And then it was In Hell.
In Hell. And then this one was The Shepherd.
So basically titles with two words in it. That's about it. That's about the extent of Jean-Claude Van Damme's movies now. It's like The something.
Next one ain't much better either. The next one is Enemies Closer, which come out.
Oh, I love it. They're obviously just like, okay, guys, we can't go past, you know, three words on this because it won't fit on the DVD case. That's what we need.
You should start venturing down Steven Seagal's name of his films. They're awful. But there you go. That's for another time.
Potentially another. I think Steven Seagal actually does need his own podcast. So, you know, maybe for that one, it might be a little collaboration between you and Jeff, because I think you're both big Seagal fans.
Did you know that actually Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes, that was originally written for Van Damme and Steven Seagal?
No, I didn't know that.
Van Damme had actually signed on to do it, only if he could play the good guy, because he was signed on to play Wesley Snipes' character. Steven Seagal never agreed to it. And then obviously that kind of legendary fight that never happened at Sylvester Stallone's party went on, and the film went to Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
They're all at a party at Sylvester Stallone's house, and Van Damme called out Steven Seagal to have a scrap in the back garden, and Steven Seagal just left. Not through chickening out or anything like that, he just couldn't be bothered.
Oh, interesting.
That's where all the beef comes from, I think.
Okay. Well, I remember there was this... I don't know if it's recently, but I remember seeing something about Van Damme who was calling out somebody who himself, I think, might have been on the Power Rangers or something years and years ago. And and what was all that about? Some like comic con sort of convention, and apparently it was all staged for the cameras. And the guy came out and says, "Look, yeah, I would have knocked him out, but he didn't want any of it." And he's been avoiding me for years. After, yeah, like saying, I don't know, what was all that about?
It was the Green Ranger, wasn't it?
Yes,
I can't remember his name. He's an MMA fighter. But yeah, apparently he said years ago that he'd be able to knock Van Damme out, and then I think it's just been brewing, and they come face to face, and well, obviously nothing happened. So I don't know. Whether that was staged or not, or whether it was. I don't know. I haven't read too much into that because I didn't believe it myself.
Yeah, I just know that. Well, the guy he had his interview afterwards was saying that it was like all sorted, and it wasn't like an issue for a long time. But then Van Damme saw the opportunity at the same event, and then he was just saying, yeah, he got all his cameras out and did the whole, like, yeah, yeah, come on then, you know, like when you do when you're at school, you're like, yeah, 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 come on then, I'll have you, and then, you know, you get your boys to sort of, you know, pull you back, and then you still get to walk off with the dignity of saying, yeah, I would have had him, but, you know, you got your boys stopped me. so it was one of those classics. Apparently, according to the article, it was that, you know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he was like avoiding the Green Ranger. Then he comes out when he's by himself, and he pulls out like four or five cameras to show what was going on, because I think he was recording some sort of some sort of reality TV show or something that, you know, most of the
behind closed doors or whatever it was.
So that was interesting. Yeah, interesting. Interesting story. Okay, we digress yet again. This is what happens on the podcast. When you get two fans of the genre together, it's very hard to keep us on track. that's what happens. That's what I love about doing this podcast, to be fair. Okay, then, Colin. So I sort of went off on a tangent there talking about the supposed fight, or he said and he said something else, sort of fight that did or didn't happen. Before I was doing that, we were talking about what movie?
It was Enemies Closer. That came out in 2013, and that was directed by Pete Hames, who also directed Van Damme in Sudden Death and Time Cop. His son, John Hames, also directed Van Damme in the re-franchising of the Universal Soldier franchise, and also directed Van Damme and Chun-Li in Dragon Eyes.
I've got some people after me.
This film sees Van Damme as the villain, actually. It starts, the film's about a forest ranger and ex-Navy SEAL named Henry, who is forced to help a drug cartel led by Van Damme to find a major shipment of drugs that went missing on the US and Canadian border. Whilst in the woods, the forest ranger runs into a man who he's got a vendetta with, which is like a subplot of the film. Those two have to join forces to try and kind of take out the drug cartel. Van Damme in this is insane, basically. He looks insane, his hair, the way he dresses, the way he acts, everything. I mean, even when he's fighting, there's a bit in it where he breaks a CD and cuts someone's throat, but he's kind of got this weird, sinister look on his face when he's doing it. The fight scenes in this aren't that many, but it kind of sees a bit of a difference, again, kind of like in Hell, but this is a lot more grappling. I mean, there's a bit in it where he gets this bloke in a chokehold and he walks up this locker and flips over and gets him in this and chokes him out completely or kills him. There's a unique fight scene in this as well. It's kind of a chase up a tree where this forest ranger's getting away from him. And Van Damme, who's an environmentalist in this, he keeps going on about the earth and how we're ruining the earth and all that sort of stuff. Just chases him up this tree and they do this kind of weird fight scene back down the tree, really. The only downside on this film is it was shot outside at night and it's quite hard to kind of keep up with the action in some bits of it. Other than that, I thought the film itself probably isn't brilliant, but Van Damme in it is just totally different. I just the look of him and everything, it just kind of, there's an undertone to his character where you know that he is totally mental under there. You know, even the good guys in it, you know, they don't really stand a chance of winning. It's only, without ruining it, I can't say anything, but, you know, it's only at the end that they kind of get away with it, sort of thing. I liked it because it was, I thought Van Damme was brilliant in it.
They're coming after you!
Cool, okay, so where are we going to next in the Van Damme journey?
The last one that I'm going to talk about today is Pound of Flesh.
I've seen it. There we go. Give me that one. One out of five. I've seen that one.
Were you disappointed with it or not?
Good question. You know, I watched it because I knew that Darren Shalhoub was going to be in it. So I was excited about seeing those two. I was excited by seeing that... I can never say his surname. I always get it wrong. Was it John Salvetti or Savetti?
Yeah, John Savetti. Yeah.
So I know he did the choreography for it.
He's worked closely with Donnie Yen in loads of films, hasn't he?
Yeah, so. I think they were like best friends or something, or they were best friends, or they, you know, I know they're good friends over the years. So I was excited by the fact that Damon Shalhoub was in it, and I was excited by the fact that John Salvetti was doing the choreography. When I watched the film in its entirety afterwards, I felt that it really missed. I felt there were some great bits in there, but I just thought there were some bits in there where, like, look, don't get me wrong, you know, everyone's aging, you know, so I don't expect Van Damme to be doing the jumping split kicks that we've seen in, you know all those, you know, the movies that we've just grown to know him from. You know, I don't expect him to be doing, you know, massively, you know exaggerated acrobatic jumping back spinning hook kicks or whatever anymore. So that's why when I knew that John Savetti was going to be doing the MMA sort of grounding stuff, I expected more. I just thought the editing let it down. I thought it was just the way it was, the fights were edited, they just seemed really jumpy. You know, there was a lot of the double take, oh look, he's done this and let's see it again, he's done it again and he's done it again, which is used to sort of mask some of the kicks and things like that. So And I would have loved to have seen a bit more of the Darren versus Van Damme sort of fight. I thought in the
film that the two fight scenes they had together showcased the two different styles. I mean, the first one, it was all kicking. There was a lot of high kicks and stuff in there, I thought, anyway. And then the final one, that was more of a grapple on the floor and stuff. I thought that was quite an interesting take to show them both taking different elements and different sort of fight scenes myself. I mean, I thought the film was quite good. I thought the unique splits that Van Damme done in it as well, where he had the guy locked in the door, in the car door, and then he was driving forward to try and get Van Damme off with the gun, and he put his leg up against the wing mirror and they started driving off, and Van Damme was doing the splits as they were going along.
Oh yes, that would be with a Big Mike Leader. Big Mike Leader was in there. I thought that was quite good, and I guess that's really good because obviously they've been friends for many years. That was a nice little sort of cameo for him, because I know Mike's very heavily involved with sorting out, you know, he does loads of stuff in Hong Kong, doesn't he? We're sorting out locations and sorting out, you know, producing production based stuff. So I did enjoy that bit. I did enjoy that bit. And there were bits in the document on that I enjoyed. But I don't know, I just felt like they had the talent to maybe utilize it a bit better. And I think it was more than anything, I just felt the editing sort of let it down, where they could have let some things maybe go a little bit longer. So like you said, the kicking, you know, I just think, you know, Darren, you know, was the perfect sort of match for Van Damme to have maybe extended more of the kicks or the punches. They could have gone a lot further, I think, with the fight.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows? That could be down to, you know, the old problem of just money and time and having to shoot and get out.
Yeah.
So I guess we, you know, we'll never know. So it was a nice sort of way for me to get back into Van Damme movies.
The green screens in it were over the top. I didn't get why they need to do that. That was just awful.
Yeah, there were some, yeah. And I reckon that again is just down to budget and money, you know. So they're probably like, okay, look, we can't afford to actually do the driving shots and set up a crane on this car or set up some rigs. So we'll just get you to sit in the car. We'll put the green screen all the way around you, and you know, we'll shoot it like that. Or we'll put the green screen somewhere else for the next scene. I reckon that was just pure money. Just to get it done, yeah. So you know, and I think there were some elements, you know, there were some parts where they it worked well, you know, they had that sort of, I don't know, it was like an underground street fighter sort of thing happening. I thought there were some nice elements to it. You know, I like the way that I like some of the sort of the flashback sort of stuff that they have. You know, when he's, you know, the idea of it was quite good. So I mean, if anybody hasn't seen the movie, I thought the idea of the story was quite interesting. So if you want to tell people the story, I think that's actually what got me interested in watching it, is like how the story starts so quick, doesn't it? Just it's like, you know, he wakes up and then bang, this is what's happening. So fill the listeners in if they haven't seen it.
Well, basically the plot of it is Van Damme wants his kidney back. That's kind of it.
And that's kidney, guys, not his kid. It's not, he doesn't want his kid back. He wants his kidney. So let's just take it.
Yeah.
Just to show you how extreme they take the movies. It's like, you know, Van Damme loses his kidney. But why does he lose his kidney, Colin?
Well, his niece needs a kidney transplant. So he travels to give her the kidney to have the operation done. He goes out or gets seduced when he arrives. Goes back to the hotel, wakes up in a bath of ice with his kidney removed, and obviously he needs to go find it so his niece doesn't die. The plot itself is tremendously dark, isn't it?
Yeah. But
the film doesn't have a dark feel to it. It's quite upbeat. The action was constant, I thought. I didn't think there was no slow points in there. The fight scene with the Bible bashing was brilliant, where he has the Bible and he just beats the people up in the club.
That was a good scene.
That was really good. And also the punchline on the DVD is brilliant. The black market's about to get bloodier. the story was dark, but I felt that Van Damme held his own in this. I thought that, as I said earlier about the splits, which you've come to expect in most of his films, with unique ways of him showing his flexibility, this one topped everything, I thought. We've pretty much said it all, really. I enjoyed it. I mean, it came out in 2015. He's done a few others since then, obviously, with the Kickboxer rebranding and stuff like that. But I found out of recent times, you know, the past few years, this has been my favourite that I've watched of his so far.
Good. You're a good fighter. You. Good. Good.
Thanks.
All right, Colin, I think that's a really good selection of sort of post... glory years, if you will, with all due respect to Van Damme movies, because you know it's great that he's still busy, he still remains busy, you know, as does, you know, Steven Seagal somehow, yeah. Somewhere, I don't know how he's doing it, but he's still making movies. I'd rather watch a Van Damme movie than watch a Seagal movie, though. I'd definitely say that. It's good. I think you've given us the listeners enough movies to be getting on with. I know there's four there for me to find and watch, which I definitely will do. Thank you very much, Colin. I think now it's time to move on to the really important part of the podcast, which everybody wants to know, is if you had to recommend one fight scene for maybe a newbie to the genre, or even maybe somebody who's watched a lot of martial arts, but maybe they haven't watched, you know, some of the classics that maybe people think they should watch, or maybe they've just got into it recently, so all they can find at the moment is, some of the Hollywood stuff. What fight scene would you recommend that a fan of the genre needs to watch?
My all-time favourite fight scene is the final fight scene in Drunken Master. I have watched that numerous times. My son's 8, and he will sit down and he will watch that from start to finish. I absolutely love it. It was the first Jackie Chan film I brought, and I have watched it so many times, it's unbelievable.
What is it about that scene that sort of fills you with that joy? You know, we've all got that one film or that one fight scene that just really hypes us up. What was it about Drunken Master? Because it's a great end fight scene. You know, Jackie versus Wang Zhengli is a classic. So what is it for you? What is it that makes you really enjoy watching that movie?
I can't name any specifics. It's just something that I've watched over and over again, tried to mimic as a kid and never got anywhere near. I just would recommend it if you wanted to branch out and start looking at the Hong Kong fight scenes. I think that's something that would be a great place to start.
So you think that you're the only master here? Well, let me tell you, my drunk gods don't mess around.
With your martial arts background, did and with a specialty in kicking, was that something that did that start your interest in martial arts, or did it just happen to be that you're already interested in martial arts and that's happened to be a movie where there was lots of kicking in it?
The very first martial art film I saw, my mum was out and my dad let me stay up, and Kickboxer was on TV. I watched that, and that was pretty much where it started. I think I was 6 then, and 6 or 7, and I just went on from there. And then 2 days after that, I went to a car boot sale, and that is where I brought Drunken Master. And it was those two films that just got me obsessed. I think I kind of swayed more towards Van Damme because it was, maybe those films are slightly more believable, as in you could relate to them a little bit more.
Yeah, a bit more grounded, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. But it was definitely Kickboxer that started it all off, and then Drunken Master off that just led to a whole new avenue of films for me. It was, obviously, they were quite hard to get hold of. There wasn't many of them for sale or anything like that. It was all through car boot sales or second-hand shops and that sort of thing. But it was definitely those two films that led to my obsession, I guess, with martial arts.
All right, Colin. Unfortunately, that takes us to the end of this episode of the Dragon Slayer podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time. out to join me on this podcast. I've learned loads about Van Damme. So what I'll do, I'll give you the final sort of wrap up, and please do share with the listeners your Twitter handle and how they can you know, sort of carry on this conversation with you online, and maybe even suggest some more Van Damme movies to watch.
Okay, well, thanks very much for letting me come on the podcast. I've listened to the others and I've loved them. My Twitter handle's at Colin Squire. Feel free to come along and join us all in the discussions for the martial art movies.
Yeah, we do have quite a few. I know Jeff's a big instigator for conversations that we had in one of the previous episodes. So yeah, definitely Colin is your guy. If you buy DVDs and you're still supporting the physical DVD market, which I'm still there, but not as much as these guys, nowhere near as much as you know, Colin, Jeff and Mike Fury, then you definitely need to, you know, get us into some conversations online on Twitter. My handle for the podcast, you can find me at Hong Kong Legends, named after the famous DVD label, but generally also encompassing our love for, you know, Hong Kong Legends, which is something I've sort of grown up with watching. Colin's on there too. You'll see various interactions between us all. So please do join us on there. And if you're a fan of Hong Kong or generally martial arts action cinema and you want to join me on the podcast, again, hit me up on Twitter and we can make it happen. So, Colin, once again, my man, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to have you join me. I know we've been wanting to do it for a while, so and it's been a great episode. I'm now going to go and see how I can now get hold of those remaining four films which I've sort of not watched, but I will watch them. And then I will tweet you.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Chris.
All right. Take care, mate. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.